Well, just looking back over the course of this past week, particularly at the United States, we're getting more evidence of the strength which is building through the economic recovery over there. And we saw it last week, both in data and also in policy intentions. And so as far as data is concerned, we're getting strength running through both the leading economic indicators out in the United States and also the lagging ones like employment. So taking the leading economic indicators first, a bit like here in Australia, they're getting a huge surge running through all asset prices, but particularly in housing prices. And so we had the January Case-Shiller House Price Index came out. It rose more than expected in the month. It was up by 1.2%. So the acceleration, that's gone to 11.1% now from 10.2%. So across the United States, we got double-digit rises in house prices, adding to household wealth. And households are becoming way more confident. So we had the Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Survey for the month of March came out. This was expected to rise strongly. So they expected it to lift to 97 from 90.4. It lifted to 109.7. So that's a massive, nearly 20-point lift in 1 month. So it just gives you some indication of the strength of positive feeling which is building up in the US. And you can see it in other leading economic indicators which were released last week. Right at the end of the month, we had the Chicago District Purchasing Managers Report. It was at 59.5 going back to February. They thought it would probably get to 60. 60 is a strong reading for this survey. It went all the way up to 66.3. So massive lift running through that. And it was also reflected in the general ISM Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index for March. That was already at 60.8. People thought it would sort of lift a little bit further to 61.3. It went up to 64.7. So these lead indicators are really starting to surge, you know, on the back of both income growth in the United States, much of that generated by fiscal stimulus, and also, of course, by asset prices, where, you know, the stock market is running very, very strongly, and house prices are too. Then the lagging indicators, the non-farm payrolls, right at the end of the week there, and for March, you know, the market, by the time we got all the survey in, the market was looking for a very big rise in non-farm payrolls. They thought they would lift by 647,000. Huge lift that they're expecting. Well, we beat that. They're up by 916,000. Absolutely massive. And the previous month was revised up from 379,000 to 468,000. So this massive growth in employment now is occurring in the United States too. And it brought the unemployment rate down further to 6.0% from 6.2% going back the month before. Adding to all this, you know, in March, of course, we had the $1.9 trillion stimulus package which passed through Congress. You know, we've got the talk last week from the president about another package, which is between $2 and $3 billion to come, and this one's for infrastructure projects, for infrastructure spending. So, yeah, we've got more on the horizon coming through for fiscal stimulus as well, and we've still got the Federal Reserve on various commentaries through the course of the week from some of the senior officials saying that, you know, they don't see any problem with inflation for, you know, going through to, you know, 2013 at earliest. So, you know, they're going to be supporting with interest rates and, of course, with QE through all of this. So, you know, this really is a powerful role now. You know, and it's going to be reflected, as it is showing, you know, in risk assets, most particularly in the share market, which over the Easter weekend in the United States just roared. And so we've got the S&P 500, the Dow, new record highs. Just to give you some indication of how far these indices are up, over the past 12 months, remembering that late March, early April was the low point for some of these indices, but, you know, we've got the S&P 500, which is up now over 60% year on year, and the NASDAQ over there is up over 83% year on year. So you know, these massive rises that we've seen running through these markets over a protracted period. This week in the United States, today we will have the non-manufacturing ISM. It expects to rise to 58.5 from 55.3. We've got the minutes of the last FOMC meeting. We've got some consumer credit data, and we've got producer prices coming out later in the week for the month of March. This is the one that's obviously being watched because the corollary of very strong growth is that it's becoming increasingly hard to hold longer-term bond yields down in the United States. So these are under pressure to rise and have been over the course of this past month. And that pressure may continue as we go ahead. But for the time being, not really denting the buoyancy of risk asset markets because of the strength that's running through economic activity. China last week, we had some purchasing managers reports coming out of there. So we had the manufacturing purchasing managers index came out, the official one. It was stronger than expected, went up to 51.9 from 50.6. The non-manufacturing purchasing managers index was particularly strong. It rose from 51.4 to 56.3. Very large rise there. That's actually a very strong reading. We also had the cakes in manufacturing PMI came out. Went in slightly the opposite direction to the official one and came back from 50.9 to 50.6. But all told, those indices pretty strong. This week, today, we'll get the cakes in services sector PMI, see if that does the same as the official one, which went up so strongly. It was at 51.5 going back to the month of February and probably is going to rise into the mid-50s. And right at the end of the week, we'll get their March CPI and producer price index coming out. Still no real sign of pressure running through these. So the CPI is expected to come in around about minus 0.4% year on year, compared with minus 0.2% going back the month before. Producer prices are rising, but are expected to settle back a bit. So they were up 1.7% year on year, going back to February, coming back to 1.5% when we get to the month of March. We, in Australia last week, really, again, it's seeing some strength running through private sector credit now. We had the February credit numbers came out from the Reserve Bank, and they're regularly now managing 0.3s, 0.2s per month. It was a 0.2 month last month, so the annual change is only 1.6%. But the leading edge of that is housing credit, which almost monthly now is rising 0.4% a month. So that rose another 0.4%, is now up 3.8% year on year. We had home building approvals came out for the month of February. They were way stronger than expected. So we should expect some very strong building activity coming through. We had one soft month for home building approvals going back to January, where we had that dip of 19.4%. The market thought in February we'd get a lift of around about 5%. We got a lift of 21.6% month on month. So it's not just house prices which are rising. This is driving quite a surge in home building activity. And with it, of course, all the jobs that run off the back of that. And that brings me to February job vacancies. This is a quarterly survey that comes out from the Australian Bureau of Statistics. And it had another very strong rise. So 3 months to February, job vacancies were up 13.7%. They're now up 26.8% year on year. Now, remembering that February last year was before we really got our downturn running through from COVID-19. So, we really are, the economy really is generating an awful lot of jobs at the moment. And that's why, sort of the worries about 150,000 jobs that might be lost that Treasury put out. You have to take it with a pinch of salt because there's a lot of evidence that businesses are finding it very hard to fill job vacancies at the moment. And part of that survey, they had a record number of businesses in that survey saying that their single biggest problem is the lack of availability of appropriately skilled labour. Many of these industries are in lower skills area too, and they can't find job workers to save their lives in those industries. So, yeah, this is it genuinely was a pretty interesting survey when that one came out. We had also February international trade data, another sizable surplus, not quite up to what was expected. So the market expected a $9.9 billion surplus in goods and services. It came in at 7.5. That was back a bit from a revised 9.6, but all told, those are still pretty strong. Exports were off 1%, but imports rose by 5%, so which is a reflection of strong domestic demand here. Retail trade, February retail trade, we already had the preliminary reading of this, and on the preliminary reading, it was down by 1.1%. That's been revised back to minus 0.8%, so not quite as soft as in the preliminary reading. We know that in March, there's been a bit of a resurgence, so waiting for that figure to come through. And we also had February housing finance, where for owner-occupiers, the value of owner-occupier housing finance, going back to January, was up 12.3% month on month. So unsurprisingly, we got a bit of a settling back on that. We were down 1.7% after that huge rise. But the annual change is up 55.2% for owner-occupier housing finance. So it gives you some idea of the power that's running through there. Total new loans, housing loans, the value, which was up 10.5% month on month going back to January, came back only 0.4% in the most recent month and is up 48.8% year on year. So all told, you know, housing finance is still running at a huge peak at the moment and still, you know, feeding through into very, very strong housing demand. Now today, you know, we've got the RBA meeting. And yeah, there's a bit of talk about you know, obviously, you know, the power that's running through housing at the moment, particularly the pricing pressure. Who's responsible for, you know, trying to take or put the top on this? You know, APRA's sort of washed its hands of it. The RBA's been saying, look, we don't see a problem here yet because the loans are still looking as if they're okay coming through from the banks. And that's probably true because the servicing on those loans is actually quite low, even though the loan sizes are quite big. But it'll just be interesting to see whether there's any hint of any change from the RBA today. It won't be on the interest rate front. You wouldn't think, you know, at the moment, they're still saying that they don't see any change in either the 0.1% cash rate or the 0.1% cap on the three-year bond yield over the course of the next 3 years through to 2024 at earliest. I can't see them changing their talk about that in the near term. The only concern I have, it's a positive one, the economy is just running away from them. It's picking up way faster than they anticipated. So at some point, you know, they will have to admit to that and maybe put some sort of cap in there somewhere. So it'd be just interesting to see if they find some way of just tweaking words a little bit, just to put a little bit of concern in there that maybe, you know, they can cap out this housing boom. They've been saying they're not worried about it, but I can't see how they wouldn't be, you know, the way in which you're seeing the activity that's running through housing at the moment. Europe last week, we had the business and consumer survey. Notwithstanding the fact that Europe's got, you know, sort of some parts where, you know, they got rising COVID-19 infections, even though they're sort of vaccinating people, and you've got some restrictions which have been tightening. Some are doing very well. You know, the UK, for example, they'll be announcing their second round of reduction in restrictions this week and are going particularly well in terms of vaccinations. And as a result of that, they're getting some extraordinary successes. So, for example, the death rate there from COVID-19 has fallen to roughly zero or very low single digits over the course of the past week or so now. That's a far cry from where they were even, you know, 2-3 weeks ago, and that's largely down to the fact that they vaccinated over 30 million people there so far. Yeah, there are some successes in Europe. It's a little bit all over the place in terms of continental Europe. But nevertheless, they're looking forward. And the March Business and Consumer Survey roared. and lifted from 93.4, was expected to go to 96, went to 101. So the lead indicators are saying, look, you know, we expect things to lift very, very sharply before long as well. We had the CPI came out, core CPI, no problems there for the ECB. Yes, the headline inflation rate's lifted to 1.3% from 0.9, but the core CPI has actually come back the other way, down to 0.9% from 1.1%. So no pressure on them to do anything other than supporting whatever fiscal initiatives come through, as far as Europe's concerned. We also had the March manufacturing PMI. This is actually a revision because we already had it at 62.4. It was revised upwards to 62.5. That's up from 57.9 going back the month before. This week out of Europe, we got Centix investor confidence coming out today, the European unemployment rate for February coming out today. They're both expected to be okay. So the Centix investor confidence expects to lift from plus 5 to plus 6.7. And the unemployment rate, which is down at the cycle low of 8.1%, expected to stay at that for the month of February. We'll also get the March services PMI, the revision of that. Later in the week, it was at 48.8 on the preliminary read. And their producer prices, which much like China, are running the low ones, around 1.2% year on year. But all told, it's still a story around the world of the world's the economy, which is showing the sharpest lift now in terms of economic activity, is now very much the United States, and that's continuing to power ahead. And there's more rocket fuel being thrown onto it all the time. It's highly likely we're going to get some extraordinary growth numbers out of the United States as we go through the middle months of this year into the later part of this year. And that, of course, is what's being anticipated by the by risk asset markets at this point. There'll be a change in rotation always occurs through risk asset markets. The high-tech part, which led, will tend to come back somewhat. And we are moving towards the cyclical stocks starting to lead this. So it's the bigger indices like the S&P 500 and the Dow, which are now starting to boom rather than the NASDAQ. So seeing that sort of rotation coming through. And part of that rotation is you go to the markets which are undervalued. And dare I say it, we're one of those, the ASX 200 and the European markets, and that's starting to show now in terms of the way in which the European markets are starting to outperform the US equity markets.